We'll call the meeting to order, and I'm hoping that everyone can get up here as that's here. Pauline, why don't you just bring a chair around so that you're up here too? Or I tell you what, you could come here even. For Stephanie and Becky, for those that are listening in, we've tried to get everybody around the table here so that we've all got a microphone so that everybody can be heard clearly. So if we have some more come in, we'll slide another chair in. And so I'll call the meeting together this morning. And this is our workshop for using our health care dollars wisely. And some of us had homework assignments. And so I think the first thing that we'll do is go around and everybody mention your name and just briefly what department you're from or who you represent so that we can get that down on the record. And I'm Peggy Wilson, and I'm the representative I'm the chairman for the HESS committee. And Berta Gardner?
Berta Gardner for Midtown Anchorage.
Carlene Jackson, Commissioner for Health and Social Services.
Senator Betty Davis, Anchorage.
Denny DeWitt, Governor's Office.
Pat Carr, Director of Health Planning and Systems Development for the Department of Social Services and out of the Commissioner's Office.
Jerry Fuller, Medicaid Director in the Department of Health and Social Services.
And Pauline Swanson, Staff to Representative Mike Hocker.
Okay,
what
and then
Pauline Swanson.
Pauline.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Stephanie, are you online?
I am. Just as you got to me, I got in the building. Thank you. And I'm Stephanie Birch. I'm the Director of Maternal Child Health for the State of Alaska. Thank you.
Okay, and then I have my staff person in Wrangell listening on, Becky Rooney. So if you can put your buttons on mute, and then just remember when you go to talk to take them off mute, then that helps everything as we go along here. Okay, I thought we would go ahead and when we were in Denver, we kind of decided some of us were going to have homework assignments. So I think I'll just go down the list and everyone that had some homework, tell us what you came up with and what you found out. So, Stephanie, you had something to do. Why don't you kind of tell us? Now, you sent us the Alaska State Plans and Special Reports. Now, and here comes Representative Sharon Cisna. Sharon, why don't you just come on over? We're going to, there's an extra
Danny,
chair,
come
too.
Sit with me.
Yeah, I
want to
play with Paul and Steve.
Sure. Come testify with me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, Stephanie, we're ready to listen, I guess.
Okay, Representative Wilson, yes. I think what I have on the minutes anyway were some birth outcomes. Now, I had sent quite a bit of information in advance regarding birth outcomes, and I was trying to recall what else I was sort of owing the group. We have a latest MCH data book that just came out on birth defects. It's the first one that we've actually put together, and I was preparing to send those out to everyone.
All right. So I think that's fine. If you can email the summary of what, and maybe how long is it?
Well, I had already sent you, of course, all the fact sheets around birth outcomes, and then we were going to be updating those as soon as our PRAMS data comes. They're more in a book form.
Okay.
So I'll see. Maybe what I could do is sort of compile some basic points around birth outcomes so you're not going through a bunch of stuff.
Okay. That sounds really good. And
okay.
We'll add that. I think what we need to do is look at all the different data that we have, and then after the meeting today, we will have summarized and put in a priority order the challenges that we have before us and what we decide to do. And then I think we'll take each meeting as we set up the meetings on a subject so that we can really dig into it and have time. There's so much right now that we kind of have to go into subject area and do some studying, I think. I think that'll help us as a group if we do that. So we'll have that one down. Was there anything else, Stephanie?
No, I think what we had also added into that, besides birth outcomes, were sort of the status around contraceptive issues and reproductive health. So I will add that as well.
Okay.
And then, be prepared at some point to, present some specifics around those topics.
That sounds great.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Pat, you had.
Representative Wilson, I circulated to you and to Commissioner Jackson a list of the state health plans and special reports that we had assembled to this point in time, and that's a responsibility that we carry out of my office. I didn't attempt to put them in any particular order until I knew a little further more about how we were going to proceed in priorities. So this is a work in progress, and we'll continue to help build this as this committee needs it.
Yeah, and I think this is really nice. And I think there's like 9 pages of it, and it's always amazing. So as we go through some of this and pick our subject meetings, then we'll be able to look at these and maybe glean some things from it. And I mentioned to Carlene that, Jerry, I think, that I tried to get a hold of Chuck, and his department has been closed till September, so I don't know how we'll get a hold of him. So I don't know for sure where that's going to come. Carlene, did you have something?
Yes, I did. If I could just interrupt. If we go to page 7 of the handout that Pat gave us, I can tell you my little bit of homework. If we look at the Public Health Center and Health Data and Statistics item, which is the second bolded item that has the website link on it, and if you were to go to that website link, there'll be several different topics of information. And one of those, under reports and publications, is the Faces of Public Health in Alaska Strategic Plan 2004 to 2006. Mm-hmm. And that's where we had talked about what are the priorities for public health in our current plan. And I know several people were interested in that. And that is a great website. It's actually fairly new, and it's got a whole collection of information on public health.
Thank you.
So you're welcome.
That's good. I think next time we'll all have to do some homework. Okay, was there anything else, Pat?
No, not at this time.
All righty. Sharon, you were going to do something.
What was I going to do? Please tell me what it was I was going to do.
I think you were going to pull together some information on your...
I was going to bring my road show. I totally forgot about that.
All right.
So I didn't bring it, but I've got it on a disc. And would be happy at one meeting. It takes about 5 minutes, I think, somewhere in there, and would be happy to show it. Because we've got we highlight, I think it's 3 essentially areas that Alaska has big problems, and in health. And one's behavior, one's access, and I always have problems with, I can always remember 2, but I always forget 1. And it varies in terms of which I forget.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
All right. And Jerry?
Jerry Fuller, Medicaid Director. Thank you, Representative Wilson. I was asked to pull together studies on long-term care issues in Alaska, and that's our listed as number 2 under our health goals and strategies. I made 3 copies. This is 1 copy. They come from 1996 to the present. There's 10 or 12 of them. Starts out with a report by Dick Ladd. He was a nationally recognized fellow before he died. And it comes up to, I just did the executive summary for the recent Lewin report. As you go through all of these, they pretty much say the same thing. We've got a problem coming with the increasing number of aged and disabled, and we need to do something about it. So we have lots of reports that talk about the issue, but we've yet to deal with the issue. So for whoever will be able to use these, I only had 3 copies made. They're just a bit much.
Yeah, it is a bit much. That might be one that we can have Chuck look into and go through all of them and just pull everything together. Mm-hmm. And they probably basically are repetitive, but you don't know. So, Representative Sisson?
One idea might be to just pass one around right this second while we're talking. I'd love to just look through it.
Sure.
I probably got a certain number of them, probably we all do, and figure out which ones we don't have. Now, wouldn't that be a decent idea? I'm itching.
Okay.
My little fingers are itching. Thank you.
Even though this meeting is very, very, anytime, raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you. And the only reason that we're trying to keep that part is because so that our recorder can have names in there. So if I, and then also my staff person in Wrangell, then she kind of gets to hear our voices and know who's who. So we have the goals that we have, and you know they sent this to us, but I was hoping that they would break down that last one that we did, and so that we would just have at least a compilation of all that, and they didn't do that. So I think we're going to have to just take some time and look at these and kind of put everything in order of priority, because I don't think that's what happened with all this. And what was the lady's name that was our
Sharon.
Sharon, yeah, that's right. But anyway, I thought kind of that we would get what we ended up with, you know, and she just wrote down what was on the papers, and that was it. So let's go through this a little bit now with all of us and see if we can rearrange or try to get this list into a list that we can all live with and isn't quite as complicated. Does anybody have any concerns or?
Well, Jerry Fuller, I have a question. On the second page, they appeared to organize in terms of how we voted on the board. So, you know, you've got number one is the sustainability issue, and two is long-term care. Is that what you are referencing, Representative Wilson?
Well, the first thing we voted on was.
When I looked at it, I just didn't think it was in the order of what we. Maybe it is.
I think it is.
And if I can add something, Representative Wilson, I think the 1, 2, 3, 4s may be in order of how we voted, but I think the stuff underneath, I'm not sure the stuff underneath is in any kind of order.
Yeah, and that's how come the numbers are beside them. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to see underneath them, the numbers are all mixed up, and I would like to get it kind of in order. And if that's okay with the rest of you. And sometimes we can go by just the numbers, but further back, there's not numbers. And so I think if we kind of just pull it together a little bit more so that I thought if we did that, then we would be able to say, okay, let's get together and the first meeting we'll go over, you know, mothers and babies, you know, or something like that, and the next meeting we'll go over whatever. Yeah. Pat.
Representative Wilson, we, underneath each number, the ABCDs, those were our brainstorm list, and we really did not have a chance during that meeting to discuss those or for us to prioritize those or say we agree or don't agree mm-hmm. with these. They were just ideas, so mm-hmm. Even the ideas that I put forward in a group discussion like this or a group think really need to be considered by the entire group.
Well, that's so, what I thought.
And that's what you're saying is that we need to
look. We need to try to figure out
that's right.
After each of these listed, where we're at and where we want to go,
right.
You know, and put them and let's try to put them in order of priority, because if we there's no way that we can do all this right now, mm-hmm. you know, and so we've got to kind of get it each under each like Alaska health goals. Okay, out of all those, which one do we think is the most important? And we're not all going to agree on this, but we're going to have to get some kind of a majority decision on this so that we can go forward. And I actually was thinking too that maybe once we put them in order of priority, then we might even have to go back and look at it again and say, well, what can we do now the things that don't cost money, maybe. Mm. Or I mean, I don't know how the group wants to proceed, but I think that we're going to have to get this down to something that we can handle and that we can really actually do something. We want to do something, and we don't want to just have a list and then that's it. So so let's kind of just look under this Alaska Health Goals and this is an option too. Do we need to take time the next time to look at the planning that mm-hmm. the state has already done and see if we can mesh into that somehow? So, you know, I'm open for suggestions. I'm just throwing out ideas here and Sharon.
Well, on number one, we were talking about on that list is develop a process for sustainability institutionalized. I'm not quite positive if that reflects what I thought that number one was. I thought we wanted to figure out a way to get input from throughout our system and looking for ways to actually hear from all over Alaska and all the different health systems to try to figure out what really is happening and really get some conversation going with Alaska. And this doesn't say anything like that. I thought that's what we were talking about. We were talking about a group that would get a lot of different people together representing those. Some way to get out there and really find out what's going on. I mean, I'm hearing things all the time that I don't hear here. When I'm in Juneau, I don't get the same kind of information that I get when I'm going home and I'm talking to people, certainly on the street, but also people calling and asking for things. That's what I'm really concerned about. So,
Carl. And Madam Chair, I mentioned to Representative Sisna yesterday that I serve on the Executive Committee for Commonwealth mm-hmm. North Roundtable mm-hmm. on Healthcare. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, as you know, when you've been working in this field for a while, you start having deja vu of same conversations mm-hmm. that have gone on over decades. And they were talking about data and information and what groups are doing what and how do we make a list, and actually had started down the road of compiling in Access a list of who's doing what around healthcare. And suddenly everybody said, stop, that's already been done a couple of times. Mm-hmm. We've got AK Info, we've got other things going on. Mm-hmm. And so they are still trying to hone what they will be when they grow up. But what they think they're going to do at this point is make a list of the top 10 or 15 healthcare initiatives that are out there, like Bring the Kids Home, mm-hmm. that have some traction and a lot of different partners, and then find ways to help promote those. So they're kind of identifying their niche. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I mentioned to them about this group going down to Denver and that the idea of a health commission had come up, and several of them went, we have done those 5,000 times, and then we get these reports and they sit on a shelf, and that mechanism as a health commission function, just trying to connect people about who's doing what, doesn't seem to do anything. And so what they encourage this group is there something specific that it can do that's different than what's already been done, that comes up with a report that says, we have a problem with a growing population of seniors and disabled, but then there's no now what. So I just offer that because I think there is, it's easy to do a commission and get a lot of stakeholders talking, but then what?
I was not really talking about a commission. I was talking about really having your ears out there. A commission, yes, is another body that's, and if it has a specific purpose, like covering the uninsured or coming up with a healthcare plan and looking out at what different things, that's one thing. But I'm not talking about that. I agree with you 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. I go to all those meetings too. I go to Commonwealth. I go to as many different things as I possibly can. But I still hear holes that are occurring out there, and they're usually in out-of-the-way places where people aren't looking at that specific population. You know, they're usually the people that that are underserved, and nobody, business community isn't going to look at them. The state has certain mechanisms, but it's not going to catch everything. Door knocking is the best thing I've found. You know, if you could actually just go out there and door knock, you'd really find out stuff. But I know it's going on. I know there are things that we're not hearing about. Well, because I get things from time to time. Mm-hmm. Like just yesterday, another one. And if there was a way to make sure that there was one group that actually does have a real familiarity with this kind of stuff and can see what's missing. We don't have that. Sees, understands the department well enough, understands what is happening in each of these communities in the health system. I mean, I think there's some real problems.
Well, and we all know that there's empty spots across our state, and part of it is because of the distance that is involved. Part of it's because of the isolation, that there's no roads, there's no way to get to many of them, and things like this. And so we know that those things are happening, but we also have to try to do what we can to improve those areas. And I think if we go through our list, and we kind of talked about that as we went through it. So let's go through the list and see if we can channel some of our some of the things that we're going to do. Because today we're not. I don't want to try to figure out what to do today. I just want to. Today is just an organizational meeting so that we kind of have a good idea of what's going to be happening as we proceed and have our meetings, and what do we want to accomplish. And those are the things that I'd like to kind of happen today. We don't want answers today. We just want to get organized so that in the next meetings we can actually do something. So today is, we just want to go ahead. And so let's look at, under Alaska Health Goals and Strategies, number one, develop a process for sustainability and a long-term planning process. Now, and this was overall, this was number one, I guess. And so look down the list, and maybe you'll have to take some time and just quietly read it, and then decide, okay, is there anything that we can do now and to proceed some, you know. So let's kind of organize this, and we've, my goodness, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 different items, and let's kind of organize these. Is there something that we can, that's easily done, that we can put at the top? So let's just organize these in order of feasibility, that's something that we can actually do, and then just go, that's all we're gonna do today, is just organize. And is and some of them might be under, we might be able to say, A includes, and then four things. I mean, you know, let's do that so that we can kind of group together the things that we can look at and pay attention to. Oh, okay, that's a good idea. Okay, at ease. That's a good idea. I saw several of them that were had to do with communities. I saw several that had to do with actually some kind of a health commission that doesn't change as the legislature changes and as the administration changes, and there were several things that I thought would tie into that. Does anybody else have some ideas of what worked and what went together or anything? Pat?
Representative Wilson, what seemed to me to show up through this was that we were probably three or four different areas. One was more procedures for how we communicate up and down our from community, regional, state. So it's a process of communicating up and down the system, but then also how do we communicate across from the state agencies and entities involved in health and policymakers. So it's the communication process, both up and down from local communities to a more centralized setting. So that was one. The communication pattern was one.
Okay.
And those items that I thought related to that were A, B, and C, just as examples. Those that communicating across the organizations in health were with item H. The health community to decision makers, I think it was M or N, M. No, N. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing. And there were several items also that looked at how what's being done in all areas. So the synthesis, how do we synthesize all the information that's out there? And that and the, an additional area with, in terms of process. What is the process? How do we establish a process? That was reflected in items A, B, G, H, N, and O. So to me, it was a communication process, a synthesis process, and a sort of a creation of the of the process itself, which is what we, you know, whether it's I don't think we've defined that part. I think we've talked around several ideas, but we haven't really defined that either very well. So those were my thoughts, my groupings.
Okay. Anybody else? Jerry.
Madam Chair, Jerry Fuller. Given the parameters, low cost, no cost, things that we could do, starting out with that, F, it's pretty straightforward. Many times states, not particularly Alaska, but some states jump in to become the bleeding edge of the latest trend without having any idea if there's going to be the outcomes that were desired or not. So it's, you know, pretty clear at the federal level right now in terms of Medicaid, they've offered up many different possibilities under the Deficit Reduction Act. Some states are jumping right into it. CMS is pushing states to take those on. They have a goal of 10 states doing Deficit Reduction Act stuff by the end of the year. However, these things have never been proven, and so if we take F to heart, we would be slow to buy into these until a state or two has demonstrated that, yes, this particular waiver or program does have the outcomes that are desired. And most of these are the outcomes that are desired are containing cost, getting the program under control. So, you know, it doesn't cost us anything other than evaluating, staying in tune with what's occurring in other places. And that's true, you know, way beyond Medicaid also. Environmental scan. Well, in terms of healthcare access, not necessarily in terms of a process for sustainability, but in terms of healthcare access, the department is currently using some HRSA funding for a state planning grant, and while the title of the grant is, you know, addressing the uninsured, we've been trying to understand access for health care. That will have some preliminary stuff maybe late this year and probably wrapped up by mid next year. So in terms of an environmental scan and health care access, I think that's underway at no new cost to the state, federal grant. And then D, briefing legislators and others. There's another aspect that's not on here, but I believe I heard it while I was in Denver, and that is that when members come back to the session, everybody's busy with committees, there's no time to actually sit and discuss issues, whether it's health care or anything else. Everybody's just too wrapped up. So, you know, this has a requirement of legislators and others being brief, but if we just recognize that it doesn't have to be a requirement. It has to be the ability for folks between sessions to have the time, interest, and desire to chat with whomever has the information, again, whether it's healthcare or fish and game or whatever, so that during session the knowledge base is enhanced and you don't have to try to do quick catch-up with all of your busy committee schedules. So those are three areas, no cost, would move the process forward, and might indirectly actually foster a process for sustainability and that everybody has a better basis or better education about what the issues are.
I wonder if we could pull G into that, too. I really think
we should, the legislature should do their briefings differently than they do now, because if you're not on that committee, you don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. And if we would all meet together and this day you do health and social services, and this day you do fish and game, and this day you do transportation, so that we all get an idea of what's going on, because we don't know that. And I'm sure they would just throw fits about that, because some of them could care less about certain topics, but that's why it's so important, because they need to know it, whether they're interested in that or not. So I don't know an answer to that. What do you legislators think?
I think that people have different interests, and you have to pick out what you're going to focus on. You can't be an expert on everything.
No, but you
it's
should know.
It's just not possible.
Okay. But
so we have to rely on each other, and I think that a lot of us do. If it's an area of transportation or something I don't know about, then I have it's my job to talk to the people who are knowledgeable if there's a bill that comes up.
Well, I think a problem that I ran into last time is there wasn't even enough people to fill out the committee. I had to go looking for people to be on the committee. That's true. Yeah. And so maybe they should only, I mean, I think that's something that everybody should know about, whether they're interested or not.
And then they don't come. If you twist their arm to be on the committee, they're not here.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any good anyway.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Carlene.
Madam Chair, I have to confess, I'm the one that wrote D, and it was out of that frustration of how do you get people to actually listen to health care issues, because it's important to everybody, and the only thing I could come up with was their health care card. So I'm sure there's a better way. I know we can't force people to come and listen to the issues, but it is difficult from the department perspective. We present in the finance committees, and this last year we presented in-house finance over a series of about 14 different meetings at 7 in the morning every meeting, and we had varying levels of legislative interest or ability to be there. And then in the Senate we presented for half an hour once, and so there was great variability there, and it was difficult to be able in both of those instances to encapsulate what legislators need to think about relative to health care, because in House Hess we did it based on division, our different divisions in our department, and then the commissioner's office and some other pieces, but it still wasn't issue specific. So I don't know if legislators may have other ideas, and maybe it's the House Hess and the Senate Hess committee on how we can get anyone who might be interested to hear some of the different issues, like the long-term care issues ahead of us with the aging of the population. But however we can support doing that, we're happy to do it. We just don't know the mechanism at this point in the department.
Thank you. Representative Gardner made a really good point. Let me digress back to a former life when I was staffing the House Finance Committee. One of the things we did first 2 weeks of session is we had each department coming in to the Finance Committee talking about their goals for the year. And I don't know whether that's still done in full committee or not. I just haven't paid that much attention. I probably should have. But one of the things you might think about doing, I think Representative Gardner's got a really good point. I mean, you can back up the dump truck. You can dump the whole dump truck on somebody, yeah. And it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just you've had a great exercise of dumping the dump truck. On the other hand, if you work with the Finance Committee in terms of their structure of introducing issues by each department, and it's one of those things that the two caucuses talk about, these are issue areas that are going to be discussed today, and it may take an extra week in terms of how the Finance Committee would do that early on, but you could get across the board, not only health issues but other issues, you can do the overview so that folks might see the things that they're interested in and then highlight them in the subcommittees. Or in the Hess committees on either side or together. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go from there. But I think one of the things that we're not getting as much, at least I don't sense we're getting as much, is the general overview and outline of what the issues are. So folks can sort of get those in their minds and begin to ask the questions, and you whet their appetite. Folks come for what interests them. And I think that might be a way to get back into a discussion. The other thing that I'm looking at here is there's an awful lot of process here, but I don't know what we're processing to. we have a state health plan that, you know, I'm looking at the draft that we have here of state of Alaska state health plans and special reports. So we have in front of us 8 pages of everybody's individual big issue. And perhaps one of the things that we need to do is figure out how we can get all of these as part of a state health plan. And if we could do something like that, I think we contribute a lot to the discussion. But we're going to have to, we have a great process of talking to each other, but I don't know what our end game is. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what we need to have a little more definition, at least in my mind, on, is, you know, if you have no idea where you're going, any road will get you there.
That's true. No. Well, you know, that's the one thing that we have to do. We have to figure out what we're going to accomplish. I mean, we have to do that. And I'm not sure how to do that, and I don't know if anybody else is, but we have to decide what are we going to accomplish. And if you go to the very last page where it says action steps, maybe we should be starting there instead. And you know, that's what this meeting is for, is for us to help decide what we're going to do, and then we have to proceed to do it. So, Gary.
Madam Chair, Jerry Fuller. Putting on my fiscal hat, whether it's my personal home budget or the state budget, Medicaid's budget is always going to be, in the foreseeable future, the biggest fiscal issue you're going to have to deal with in terms of expenditures. It's not going to change radically because the whole climate of healthcare financing, private market is shrinking, public market is expanding, economy has a downturn, more people are out of work, poor, and eligible for these programs. Each and every session that you're serving, you'll be dealing with the Medicaid budget. And some will be horrified at how rapidly it's increasing, others not so much, and more in how can we, you know, cover more people. But bottom line, the financial aspects of Medicaid are not going to go away. They're only going to compound. And if nothing else comes out of our trip to Denver, which I think was titled, what, Using Healthcare Dollars Wisely or something like that?
Yep.
If nothing else comes out, we know that this issue is going to be there this session, next session, on and on and on. And the more we can attempt sooner rather than in 2020 to find ways for the department, for the state to find efficiencies, reconfigure systems. We won't reduce the spending for Medicaid, but we can slow the growth. And if we can slow the growth 1%, that's a big savings every year. So, you know, that's my 2 cents worth, that what is our goal of this whole process? And I would suggest that you may not be interested in health care except for that one day when you have to make a vote on the Medicaid budget, but somehow folks have to understand what's behind that, and if you will, give the department permission to try to find ways to become more efficient. And that's where we need that discussion, because we can't do it in isolation.
Well, another thing too is the prevention. We can't keep throwing money at the one end without doing preventative things. So I think that another way to keep costs down is to do more prevention, and with tried and true tested things. I mean, I think that's one thing that we need to look at. I mean, we can try to do those two things, and I think that you're very right on, Jerry, with that, because but that's another reason why the legislators need to understand, because some of them just say, well, what are you guys doing? It's just growing and growing. You got to stop that. Well, they don't realize that the people are growing. I mean, that number keeps getting bigger. So there is a part with education. Mm. You know, there's an education process that we have to get to the other legislators, or they just don't understand
why it keeps growing. But, I mean, we need to try to contain it, obviously. But Sharon.
I'd love to know what each person got out of the Colorado meeting that really jumped out at them. Would it be possible to ask each person to tell that?
We can go, I think we kind of did that when we went through and put, you know, after we were there a while, then we went through and...
I'm asking right now, is there anything that jumped out at people in that just was kind of almost an epiphany? Because I got one.
Well, what was it?
I'm wondering if anybody else did.
What was yours, Sharon?
That 50% of your health is based on your decisions, and that, what is it, 10 or 20% is based on access to health care, and that's where we're spending our money? There's something wrong there. That means that it's a sea change that has to occur. That's what we have to do.
That's probably a good point.
Mm-hmm. If I might follow up, the determinants of health model and the layout of that may be a visual that you would like to have for this committee, because we really don't have that in our materials, mm-hmm. and it is in the public health literature in terms of that. So if you would like, I will get us a copy of that, okay. and circulate it to the committee.
That would be
great. May follow up to it as a visual as we think about the weighting of our decisions.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, you had a...
My aha out of this was Maxine, I don't remember her last name, but the lead of the Washington State Health Department, you know, talking about all the preventive efforts and, you know, the triangle, if you will. And my thought was, we keep thinking of expanding health care in terms of expanding sick care. Well, what if you had a benefit package that was only prevention kinds of activities? I mean, it'd have to be discussed. It would have, you know, you screen somebody and you find that they've got cancer, but you don't cover treatment. Well, that's kind of a bummer. But okay. Is there a way to put together, would it make sense to put together a health care or prevention package rather than a sick package for any kind of expansion?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that down because that was pretty obvious. I agree with you.
I was impressed at that meeting with
Betty?
The various groups that I met with, the states that I met with, and heard some of the things that they were doing. So it was quite impressive, some of the things that they were doing. And this, as far as I'm concerned, this list that we have here, it's a good thing that we talked about it, and we did good for the short time that we had to do it, but I don't think we're ready to deal with this yet. I think that we need to sit right here and organize ourselves. In the sense, I'm interested in knowing exactly how the department put its budget together and set its priorities as to what they're going to promote to us to carry that budget out. How much money you need, why you need it, how you got there, and it should be discussed with us prior to us getting to Juneau. And if it's not discussed with anybody but the health care committees, whatever, that's better than having you come in January and start just giving your overviews at 7:00 in the morning on the House side. I'm on the Senate side, as you said. If I didn't come over here to hear it, I didn't hear it.
That's right.
Because you spent very little time over on my side. And we need to know where we are before we can deal with this thing. We said prevention was very important. We're going to work on that aspect. Access is very important. I have all kinds of things going in my mind. How many community care centers do we have that deal with primary care throughout the state? And what are we doing to bring in more? And you guys can tell me all that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then we can set our priorities on what we're going to deal with one step at a time. It's too many things on here.
Yeah,
there's no way we're going to be able to get to all this. You know, we can use this as a roadmap and maybe pick and choose as we set our priorities. But these are not, this is not going to give me what I need. And I don't want to waste my time sitting up here going over this list every time we meet without having some goals.
That's what this meeting is for. Stephanie? Okay.
Hi, Representative Wilson. This is Stephanie Birch. you know, it seems to me as I'm listening to folks talk about things, I'm wondering, you know, if you think about the theme, using health care dollars wisely, as I think Jerry Fuller sort of brought us back to, it seems like we came up with four major themes around that particular topic. And they come in the categories of communication, both communication with the communities as well as communication to the legislature. If we build on what Senator Davis was just talking about, communication, particularly from the Department of Health and Social Services about their budget priorities. And then there's a category around prevention, and there's a lot of interest around prevention. And the themes that, in terms of the populations that we talked about, were those with around birth and contraception. There was a chronic disease and mental health, and then sort of the expansion of that prevention model. You know, I think Jerry was talking about getting out of Dr. Hayes's talk was really right on. And then there's the category of personal responsibility and the health determinants model, and then we have access issues. And it strikes me that perhaps this group could choose to work on one of those, as just a process suggestion, could choose to work on one of those themes where we could, as a group, be most effective in developing some strategies around. And maybe it's around communication. I'll just throw that out as a suggestion. And so as not to let the other themes or categories go, you know, assign them to a variety of other folks to sort of investigate and gather more information on. But I think Senator Davis is right that this is a, you know, we all sort of brought our stuff that we were interested in, but it's too large of a list for us to really even try to tackle. And so I just offer that as a suggestion in terms of how to think about categorizing things and breaking it into a smaller part so that we can be successful in outlining really what our goal is, what we want to accomplish, and how can our small group be most effective. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Berta, and then Carlton.
I guess in thinking about all the size of this problem and the issues, what it really comes down to is money, mm-hmm. number one, and then getting the message out to legislators, to the public, the whole communication thing. And what's really helpful for me is the missions and measures kind of idea. And if we as a state can sort of focus on how the costs really relate to, and this is sort of what Jerry was saying, to spending money to avoid spending more money, if we focus on prevention, for example, what the savings would be down the road, anticipating. And another way to sell the whole, to get people to buy in who aren't already, see, we're just talking to each other, and, mm-hmm. and we already, right. even if there's a lot for us to learn about the issues, we're already kind of buying into the whole thing. And for people who are not, if you phrase it in terms of personal responsibility and cost savings and being fiscally conservative and all of that, I think it's sort of speaking the language of people who don't volunteer to come to health-related things. And I think it's a valid way of looking at it. And the other part is sort of a lobbying effort. I mean, we see what other people do, what the oil industry does. I mean, those people have spokesmen in this building, in our offices all the time, formally, informally, dropping
living
in.
There.
Well, right, and they're very effective, but we don't have anything comparable to that from healthcare. So, you know, we're hearing the industry message over and over and over, and we might hear from, you know, hospitals who are concerned about, you know, a particular aspect, or the dental society, and they don't want the rural health aides. They've been in my office more than anybody from the health department, you know. So I think that's a really, the communication effort just start right there, that legislators have to hear it. And sending a written communication, it's tough. I mean, the people who are already committed will look through it, but everybody else says, next. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of time management. It's all you can do. But if somebody's actually sitting across from you, then you have to sort of hear it. Mm-hmm. that's a big effort.
Mm-hmm. It's Carlene.
Yeah, to follow up on Representative Sisma's question, what I took away from Denver was if there was a way for people to better understand the difference between health and health care, even though this conference focused on the cost of health care, and if when we're looking at health care, we were able to look at access issues, cost issues, and quality issues, which gets to the missions and measures, so that we could help people understand that just because it's not in the budget as a health care access cost doesn't mean it's not important to health. That would be useful. So what I did with that takeaway is I was meeting with Senator Murkowski, and I said, you know, we're all wrestling with how to present prevention as a cost savings. Can you give me any ideas from the federal side? And she said, well, interestingly, she has now been appointed to a committee looking at prevention efforts around health care. Mm-hmm. And so she promised to keep me up to date on what happens. The committee hasn't met yet. So that's happening at the federal side, or about to happen at the federal side, which was an interesting piece of information. And then when I got back and read Governor Lamb's book, the other piece that really hit me is at the end of that book, for any of you that have read it, there's this great chart that looks at why is our federal health care system broken? Mm-hmm. And it talks about the 65 and older group that's getting benefits, whether or not they need them, and then the little tiny group of people that are supporting that, which are our kids and grandkids, and what that system looks at. And I think that's something I want to include in talking with our state legislators this next year to help them see the bigger picture, because unless they understand that it's a crisis, we don't tend to respond. Mm-hmm. And a $1 billion budget for Medicaid, for some people looks like a crisis, but for some it's just, we'll cut it back, and it's not a big deal. So that was kind of my takeaway, and I absolutely agree with Representative Gardner that, you know, I will do a better job this next year with, assuming I'm the person here, with trying to get to legislators to talk about these issues, because I think they're huge, and we need to frame them there.
Everyone has mentioned something, but you two haven't. So, Pauline, what did you feel like you came back with?
I think a lot of you have actually highlighted on the pieces that I brought away as well that were just aha's for me, with regards to health versus health care, and how prevention can actually be a cost savings for us in the future as well. And the woman from Washington State too, Maxine, her presentation just really rang true with me. Yeah. With just, you know, low birth weight babies and how much they cost us versus a healthy baby. And those aspects just still are in my mind.
Dan?
I'll pass.
Well, I came up with, I tried to write down kind of main topics here. And communications, cost savings, prevention, personal responsibility, access, and then I felt like the crisis is part of the communication, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have to get the word out. And so does anybody else feel that there's more direct subjects besides what I just mentioned? Pat?
I don't think this is different, but to add a dimension, is that I think that the big numbers that were in our list, you know, increasing access to care, looking at issues affecting people's choices and birth outcomes, I felt that there was a fair amount of agreement about those among our group, about those as major priorities for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm not nearly as comfortable with the issues below in terms of how, or that we've had that thorough discussion. But if these are guiding, in addition to these areas, which I agree with you that the themes above that are the access and quality, but these areas around, you know, looking at our birth issues and looking at long-term care and looking at the access issues and keeping those in mind as we go forward in our discussion, I think that those are grounding for us as issues or priorities, and I would dare say that with all of our stack of plans that probably most of these show up pretty strongly in this 8-page list of plans.
The overall absolute biggest one was a sustainability. So that was cost, mm-hmm. you know, cost containment or cost savings, whatever, however you want to say it. And the other one was long-term care, access to health care, and
those were the number, the biggest numbers. 10, 8, and 22. Maybe I'm skipping one. Let me. The sustainability, you know, was definitely, maybe I'm, am I missing anything there? Those three were the by far the biggest. The next closest was a 6. Oh, there was a 7, addressing behavior health. So if we go by the numbers, I don't know how far down we go, but there was 2 sixes, health promotion and improved birth outcomes. If I'm looking at it that way. So, and we can put some of those possibly underneath some of this prevention, I think the birth outcomes, we can do that under prevention, because that definitely, if we do some of those things, that's going to help that. That can be under prevention. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Because I'm just trying to pull together what I've heard you guys say. Long-term care was a big one, and would that go under
sustainability?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sustainability was by far the biggest one. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should just look at the topics and then see what we feel we want to zero in on underneath those topics. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good to the rest of you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could I also make a request that we might deal with Medicaid, as Jerry has talked about? I think he and his department need to be meeting with us to bring us up to speed as what's going on from the federal level. I don't know exactly what's going on with some of the changes that have been made. Some are already in effect, some is coming up. If we would be wise to know exactly what's going on and what's going to happen to us. Are we going to be penalized? Are we okay? What's on the? Mm-hmm. I don't want to come down here in January and all of a sudden everybody's saying, "Oh, we have to cut millions of dollars out of." And we need to know if we want to cut. We need to know if we need to be adding our own money to pick up the slack. Recommendations need to be coming from your division. Send what you think.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Jerry Fuller, I agree, we need to do that. I have to throw out one caveat, though. We know what the Deficit Reduction Act provisions are. They're coming out with regulations to do that. So we have a fairly good sense.
But I don't.
No, I know, but there's another thing that we don't know about, and that is that this federal administration has said that they're going to go ahead and do regulations and other reductions based on President Bush's 07 budget proposal. Now, Congress keeps sending them letters saying, we don't want you to, but those regulations are in the pipeline to come out. Those have significant potential for millions of dollars of negative impacts on the state. But until we see the regulations, or until the administration backs off of this program, if you will, we don't know. Those are the ones that are scary to those of us who are tracking that. But we can't, we don't want to raise a red flag to you, because it may all disappear.
So it's too soon.
Yeah. The conversation we had with Senator Murkowski, she was given information. She's very much aware of this, and I believe supports our position that we'd like the administration to pay attention to Congress, that we're still figuring out all the deficit reduction options. And the deficit reduction, for the most part, wasn't a cost shift to the states. There was some administrative burden to that, but it wasn't, you know, gross billions of dollars of cost shifts. The administration's regulatory proposals that they're putting together, the glimpse that we've seen, the conversations, those are generally just a cost shift to the state. It'll save the federal government billions of dollars. It's going to cost the state an equal amount to maintain the same level of service. So, but it's too soon to get you folks concerned, because we just don't know how that's all going to play out. But if you'd like a briefing or a discussion about what the Deficit Reduction Act is and the impacts upon us, then yes, we can talk while you're in town or Anchorage, whatever your convenience.
Good. And if no one else is interested in it, I'm
with you. Right with you.
Well, I think that's our biggest budget, yes. So that's very, very important.
Right.
So, I'm just shocked that, because when I came in 6 years ago, the whole state budget is what just the Medicaid and Medicare budget is now, and that's in 6 years.
Of course, we moved things off of the general fund to the Medicaid. So that is a part of it, and I don't know what percentage, but it was a conscious effort to move things to that funding source. And you know, I would love to have an analysis sometime about, was that the wise thing to do for the long term? You know, it'd be a very interesting thing to know.
Madam Chair, while we're still talking on Medicaid, I was looking at one of the copies here. On Medicaid waivers task force. Mm-hmm. Now this was in 2001. Mm-hmm. Last year this group came before us and that they were busy working on this list and was going to give us a finished product, which I never saw if there is a finished product. This was 2001. 2006 they said that they had someone working on this. They were putting it together. Did it get to the department yet? The outcome of that task force?
I have a report for you.
Yeah, it should be something more updated than 2001.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not aware, Madam Chair, Jerry Fuller, I'm not aware of any group that's working on this now. There may be, but I'm not aware of it.
You know, when the groups come down with the kids?
Mm-hmm. Key campaign.
Key campaign, and then that other group also. Mm-hmm. They're the one that said there was a task force that was working on the waivers.
So it's the disability waivers.
Yeah.
But
it was Medicaid
than,
waivers.
Was it the waivers or the wait list?
There's lots of.
Well, they talked about the wait list also, but I thought they were saying they were changing how they do the waivers.
That is a senior and disability waiver, and that's what they're talking about. And that is, that's changed. And I don't know, are you hearing things now from that community? Because they were talking about it.
We always hear things from that community.
We do. They're the most aggressive community that we have.
They're one of the best self-advocates. Yes.
They are. They're incredible. They are really well organized.
Pauline.
There is a report that they've come out with, an ad hoc committee together with the Governor's Council and Senior and Disability Services that came out during session, and I have a copy. I'll get it to you if you'd like, and to everyone.
I would like to have
with regards to the DD waiver and the wait list.
Yes.
That report is.
That's probably what
recently
is.
Come out.
That's a good point.
Okay. Okay, what I'd like to do then is try to pull together for instance, under cost containment and savings, what subjects do you want to put under that? You know, obviously Medicaid, Medicare.
Representative Wilson, we also have talked about the strength and value of prevention as a cost saving.
Okay. And I'm gonna put prevention separate.
You can take that out.
Because there's so much to that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, so we also have to, I think, really do
And prevention was one of mine. I've been pushing that for a long time and felt like I've gotten nowhere, and so I really want that one to be one of the biggie. Danny?
I know this is sort of a different position for me to be taking, but it seems to me that one of the things we're walking around from a lot of different perspectives is, why are we interested in prevention? Is prevention a lifestyle issue that we're concerned about, or is prevention an economic issue that we're worried about? And I don't think that we have a common notion of why we're looking at prevention, for example. If it's a lifestyle issue, that's one way to approach it. If it's a cost containment issue, it's a whole different way to approach it. And what are the problems that we're going to have in healthcare generally? Again, what is our end goal? What is it we're trying to achieve with prevention? Prevention's a great, wonderful
changing
thing.
Changing people's behaviors.
Well, I understand. Is it a quality of life issue that we're after, or is it containing costs in the state budget that we're after?
Both.
Does it work both ways?
Yeah, they're not separable.
Yeah.
Oh, they are. It's a very different approach. Mm-hmm. Depends upon where your emphasis is.
Impact on one affects the other, and right. Vice versa.
When you're prioritizing what you want to look at, if you know what your goal is, you will have different priorities. If your goal is lifestyle, then you will if your goal is cost containment.
Madam Chair, I think that's a good point, and I think that was part of my trying to separate health versus health care. And if we take off on this conference we went to as health care cost containment, which was basically what it was, and we say from that we took away that health or preventive efforts are key to healthcare access and healthcare cost containment, then we can tie it together in a way that any parts of prevention are going to have a stronger platform than if we focus only on the lifestyle piece. So I see what you're saying.
And I think we have to do both of those. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can just say, okay, we're just going to cut cut programs to save money. We can't just do that, because right. If we do that, in the long run, we're going to be spending more money in the long run.
Exactly.
So we have to look at, and part of that's communication also.
Right, it's how we frame it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we can somehow do a statewide communication with the public about responsible actions for yourself, and because just think of all the things it would prevent if they just took care of themselves better. And so I think we've got to look at what is the best avenue. I mean, what we can't do everything. There's no way that we can. So we've got to decide, okay, where are we going to push our efforts? And maybe we could do two areas that would cover the most that we've got to deal with. Sharon?
Well, I guess I get a little frustrated in that I've worked in the mental health community for since 63, on and off, and know that community fairly well, know a lot of different parts of how that all plays out. It's almost impossible to remove behavioral health, the choices people make, from physical health. You can't. We do it. We have separate departments in universities, and we have separate departments here in this legislature. All the communities that I've lived in work with this all the time. It's part of what goes on all of the time. But you get to the big institutions, we don't look at it that way. We don't look at the integration of how you think is how you feel. That the little games you're playing in your mind are making you sick, making you choose things that are going to push you to the hospital. And then it goes into it starts being picked up by everybody else. There's another little factor here that I've been thinking about, and I don't even know that I want to talk about it, but I think I will. What's in my brain always comes out. And that's that, who do we hear from in the health community here? Who comes to this body? Who comes here? It's the lobbyists. And who are those lobbyists and who do they represent? The expensive part of healthcare, not the cheap part, the expensive part. It's a commercialized, health has become commercialized. It's become a really big moneymaker in the economy. And so it will have a really big say in how things are spent here. And prevention doesn't really make a lot of money for anybody. Just doesn't make, no one body is going to have lobbyists that are going to come here and lobby for prevention. Nobody's going to do it. It will have an enormous effect if we really stick with it and do it, but nobody's going to fight for it. So our dilemma is, do we break the boundaries and go against the commercial aspect? And I think that's part of what we have to do.
Well,
I don't know if we have the will.
We actually did have lobbyists this year for prevention programs, and it was the Boys and Girls Club and the School Board Association. They wanted money so that they could do prevention things. Mm-hmm. And so we did, for the first time this year, have that. And they were pretty persistent, too. And so some of that stuff might be starting, but it's usually because they want money to do those things. And but anyway, let's kind of get back to where we started.
You know, kind of like talk about prevention. I'd like to know if the department is doing anything just in general, putting some money in the budget to say to deal with prevention issues. If it ain't doing nothing but public ads out to the community saying, you know, you have this personal responsibility for your health. Blah, blah, blah. A little blip here and a little blip there. You know, that gets out, and the kids pick up on that quickly. They pass it along to their parents. You know, children learn from their parents. Many things. It's not just parents teaching kids. If you'd be surprised at the little bit of money that we could put in on how much money we probably could save, because if we educate people, they will be more concerned about their personal health. A lot of things they're doing, they don't even know that it's affecting them.
True.
You know,
true.
You give them those little messages. Mm-hmm. And that can start from the department all the way down to education and all the other areas. There's a lot that can be done. You want to do prevention? Say we're going to do it and get started.
Mm-hmm. And if I can just follow up, a good example of that is the tobacco cessation,
yes,
efforts. And a lot of parents stop smoking because through the school system and through the different avenues for communication, they heard from their kids, mm-hmm, smoking kills you. So that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, I have a question for you. Of the big budget, what are the big items inside that budget?
The big items is elder care, long-term care, nursing home. You know, lump that all together. That's the huge and growing portion of the budget.
Now, does that include Pioneer Home?
As assisted living, yeah. Okay. I mean, they're like 30-some million general funds, so lump those in there. That's probably 40% of the budget or more now.
But we should probably make the distinction that includes clients that happen to be in the Pioneer Home that could be in any other facility.
Right.
So it's not really a benefit to the Pioneer Home. It's a benefit to the client,
mm-hmm, yeah,
that happens to be,
yeah,
there.
And then probably hospital and pharmacy after that.
So it's, okay. So medications are a big...
They're still a big and growing issue, right, in spite of Medicare taking over the drug benefit for their eligibles. We're still paying the federal government for that, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing with pharmacy, yes, we get drug rebates and people talk about it, but you still have drug inflation, high single digit, double digit every year. There's been nothing put in place at any level to restrain the growth. Years ago when they did the drug rebates, states can get a certain percentage back. It took the drug manufacturers maybe 9 months to inflate their prices enough to make up the difference. So it's you know, it's an industry that's not controlled. It will not be controlled in our lifetime. But I'm sorry, I'm going off way too long here.
Okay. So under cost containment, we've got long-term care, we've got drugs, and when I say that,
hospital.
and hospitalization. Now, we probably can't do too much, well, maybe we could, with hospitalizations. Maybe under the prevention, we would go back and capture some of the hospitalization. If we can do things in the prevention area, we might be able to decrease that. That, in turn, may decrease some of the medications, I don't know, may decrease some of the long-term care even. But is there anything that we can do directly, this committee, with those issues? I mean, you know, I'm looking at what are our drivers here.
Madam Chair, Jerry Fuller, certainly in terms of the long-term care, I mean, you have the Lewin report, you know, 10 years of reports. We have a quite good long-term care system. I mean, our nursing home proportion compared to the total is, you know, quite well managed. But our long-term care system, for the most part, from at least my point of view, grew topsy-turvy. We got this waiver, we got that waiver. We don't have a true system. We've got pieces that really, from my point of view, again, don't mesh together very well. We have assisted living definition that's from one person in a private home to a, well, to the Pioneer homes. Mm-hmm. And that's a bit unusual. So I think that, again, this is Jerry Fuller speaking, I think there's some not savings, but price suppression that we could get by reconfiguring in some way, shape, or form our current system. Again, it's not going to give you $10 million savings, but it will slow the growth so that when we get out there to 2025, maybe that cost will not be $2 billion, but $1.5 billion or whatever.
Okay, now, those changes that are needed or to fill in those slot holes or whatever, does that take statute change or does that take regulation change?
Well, we'd have to look. I would dare say it's probably mostly regulatory and the political support to make those changes, because as you've said, lobbyists will be at your door.
Well, I think that's something that we should look at then. Mm-hmm. And we can come out with a recommendation for the legislature when it starts. For the department or, mm-hmm. or, you know, for whatever. So if you can pull out some of your thoughts, Jerry, and be working on it. Mm-hmm. And when we hit the meeting with that, you know, if you can kind of work on that, that might give us a little something that maybe we can make some suggestions somewhere along the line that will help. So that's one thing. Sharon.
To that point, the long-term care study that was talking about a lot of that stuff was supposed to be out a long time ago.
It's, I think, now going to be released the 20th. Of this month.
Well, I've heard that for several months, that it was on the 20th of that month.
Oh, well, that's what I've heard too, Sharon.
Well, and it's going to have, Sharon's great. It has recommendations as well, right? We should be incorporating some of those. If we've gotten studies on things, we've had all these piles of stuff, we ought to be having some of those recommendations part of what we're looking at.
They will be, some of those will be part of whatever I might bring mm-hmm. forward, and there'll be other things that aren't in that report but might be in this monster someplace that makes sense.
Okay.
I and my few staff will try to put together, from our point of view, an array of services that blend and step up from nursing home, because some people truly need nursing home, down to an important aspect of long-term care that's seldom talked about. The biggest provider of long-term care is the daughter, the daughter-in-law, the son,
Absolutely.
The son-in-law.
Absolutely.
And whatever we might attempt to do, one aspect will be not to chip away at that, but to find a way to better support that, so that the family can continue the responsibilities that they have, you know, are able to take on.
Yeah, and I would hope in that continue to do it without jeopardizing their long-term, the caregiver's long-term care, because that's what happens a lot of times.
They burn out. Understood.
And then they're the ones that have to be institutionalized.
So providing them, in other words, providing them respite or something like that is in the long run a cost savings, really.
It can be, as long as the state is able to manage that, so it doesn't become babysitting for grandma, so that it can all take off.
Yeah.
It's finding that balance where the family can do as much as they can possibly do, the state or the community can, or the faith community can contribute something to help them along, to maintain grandma for that extra month or 6 months. And getting that balance, and again, the state, the community, whoever, has to manage it, because it's easily abused by a small segment of the population. So pretty soon, the state is doing much more than probably what you would want it to do.
You know what? You just mentioned something that I think maybe when we meet again, maybe we should invite someone from the faith community, that's from the Lieutenant Governor's office or something, as we proceed, because they can provide some of those that would be a cost savings to the state if they could provide somebody to go in and sit once in a while. I mean, that's a pretty easy thing. So maybe we should get them involved, seeing the problems that as we are dealing with them, and maybe we can promote some of this, and they would be willing to help out with that. Carleen.
And Madam Chair, actually, the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives is now in our department, and we have Executive Director Stephanie Wheeler.
Good.
So we'd be happy to have her available to the group.
I think it'd be good if maybe she was in on this, and she might think, oh, I never thought of that. I mean, you know, we might come up with something there, or ways that we can work together, and maybe even in a community, if we could, maybe in every single community, if they could pick somebody that could be a faith group that could do certain things. And because we don't have them in every community, and maybe we should try to get some organization in every community in the state. Because whether it's a village, or whether it's, you know, there's always several different church organizations in every community, and maybe we need to try to promote more cooperation in that area. I don't know. That's just a thought.
I would suggest that we not only think about faith-based, but we think about total community involvement.
Sure.
Because
you're right.
There's many people who are not
right.
in church groups,
sure.
but nonetheless, in fact, some of the largest groups, unfortunately, some of the largest groups of volunteers are people from our poorer
yeah.
segments of society.
Right.
They're the ones that do a lot, and I don't ever want to overwork any of those people, because I've gone to a lot of those
right.
meetings and watched how they can burn out,
yeah.
and they can, and we don't want that to happen,
mm-hmm.
but I think we want to bring in a broader group if we possibly can, so that we all shoulder the
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Load.
Representative.
I'm honored.
I'm just saying first names.
I know, that's
today.
What happens. And it is the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, and they
right.
do a lot
right.
of work with community, and it reminds me again how poor of a job we have done in communicating what they're doing, and so it's a good thing to bring them in. And I do just have to throw this out here, because it's eating at me, that the long-term care study coming out on the 20th is a good example, and what Jerry will come up with will be another good example of, we'll come up with some exciting things we could do, and they will all have a cost. And
mm-hmm.
there won't be enough faith-based or community members to pick up the work to do all the things that we might think would be good to do. And like the personal mm-hmm. care attendant debacle that we went through, we need to be very conscious that whatever we develop is sustainable.
That brings me to what I raised my hand for sure. a long time ago, thank you, is that happened over a course of about 3 years, and apparently it was not seen happening. It happened without anyone noticing it for long enough that it got really serious before anyone did. How can we avoid that in the future, so that we really watch things as they occur? Missions and measures, if we actually were tying that to the budget, if we actually had reports in the finance subcommittees,
mm-hmm.
so that we really saw what was happening and really applied those measures to the budget.
Absolutely. And we are working now with OMB on the missions and measures to tie to the next budget. They're web-based, and we should all be able to have that access
cool.
quarterly. So
good.
Not that it's all there, but we're getting there.
Danny?
Good.
Representative Sisman, I have to slightly disagree with you on it happened and nobody was watching. It was happening, frankly, when this administration came into office, and it was an issue that was handed to us undealt with. and there was full knowledge of what was happening, and there was not the political will to address it. And when we finally pulled it together to address it, there was certainly a firestorm. At one of the public hearings, we had two personal care attendants, one who was a personal care attendant for the other, who was a personal care attendant for the first, who were outraged that we would change the regulations that would not let one PCA be the PCA for another PCA. And I can get you the tape if you'd like to listen to
it. Well, we have stories of that, Sharon Sussman speaking. We have stories like that a lot in every single little program we've got.
I understand.
So I kind of always question the one example.
Well, my point being that as you address that, there were two ways to look at it. And part of the political issue that you have to deal with is that it was looked at as how terrible to restrain that sort of activity, because these are folks who need something. And I can show you the coverage on that as well. So part of the problem that we're going to have to look at is, do we have the political will to make those calls and stand up for them? And what happens to Jerry and to Carlene, because a lot of them come through me, is, gee, we're bumping up against choices that we've made in terms of benefits that we're going to provide, except in this case. And part of what's going to have to happen if we're going to get anywhere is we're going to have to make some hard choices, and we're all going to have to politically stay with them. And that's a tough thing for us to do in healthcare.
Madam Chair?
Just a second. I think also that we have to realize that we have to be very careful when we proceed to give more services, because it's a lot easier not to give them than it is to take them back.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened in this program, and there were so many people getting paid for doing things that they did before for nothing, and then all at once they found out they could get paid for it. Yeah. And I don't want us to start blaming anybody. We just want the facts and see what we can do with them. It doesn't do any good to put any blame anywhere. What I'm going to do is...
I'd really like to say one thing, and that is that I've spent a lot of my personal money going around to different communities and finding out what administrators are talking about their community. And this is one of these problems of looking at these things within one program. Because on that program, it's not one section of the HES budget. It's two sections, and it's the welfare and the disability and senior and disability services. And one population was transferring from one budget item to another, and that's welfare workers. So many communities were talking about they were downsizing, fishing was going, mining was going, the workers were going on welfare. And they went from welfare to the home-based worker.
PCA?
I mean, the PCA.
Well,
so that's one of those things. If we're not looking at what's happening out there, we don't see the progression. It's a choice, but we should know that choice when we're making it. We shouldn't not see the whole picture. I don't know how we do that, but we've got to do it.
And I'm sure it's a little bit different in every community. I could see it very easily in my community. And in my community, it was grandma was babysitting for the kids for nothing. She wasn't on welfare. Auntie was going and getting groceries for them. And somebody else was doing this for them. And then all at once, they all found out they could do the same thing and get paid. And so they all did. I couldn't believe it. My community was, and it wasn't, you know, in my community, it might be in other communities, but in my community, it was people just saying, oh, wow, now I can get money for this. And boom. So I'm sure that happened too. But so that's one area that we did look at and we did pull back on, and I don't know where we're at with it now. Is it getting contained, Jerry, or
beginning?
Beginning.
I mean, it's a
Well, you've got a gorilla that you're trying to now control, and it's going to take time through the hearings and everything else. But Madam Chair, Jerry Fuller, it gets me back to that we can put together suggested reconfiguration of the long-term care system. I agree with Representative Sisna that we can't squeeze here because it's just going to pop up over there. And if it's going to pop up, we need to know that. It can't be this accidental aha. And so what we put together, we'll try to anticipate those. But the legislature, the governor could agree that this is what we're going to do. But it's going to take resources to make it happen, because if we don't have people to track what's occurring, to do the assessments, to do all of the administrative work, which will cost more money, we will not accomplish anything. It'll be another reconfiguration of a PCA or waiver services, whatever, that will blow up in some way, shape, or form, or pop up over here when we squeeze there. And so it, you know, I'll be blunt, our administration is really thin for very huge programs. And that's a choice, and that's possibly a consequence of the choice.
Well, that might be something that you need to look at, and if you think you need more people to oversee these things, I mean, you know, I know that we've worked and worked and worked to get it down, mm-hmm. but it's growing, and when it grows, then you need to start making sure that you can keep track of it. So.
And I hear you, Madam Chair. The balance has been, we have continued to say, we'll cut internally to allow the services to get out to Alaskans. And you're right, there's a balance point that's very hard to determine to the nth degree.
Yeah, and we have to be careful with that, because I think legislators have to see it growing, and so they just want to make sure it stops growing, and it's not going to. I mean, it's just not going to. So, but we need to get back on track, guys. Mm-hmm. So under cost containment, I've got long-term care, I've got drugs, what else?
Hospitals.
Yeah, I started writing it. Hospital costs. Okay, and then under prevention, I've got birth, chronic disease, mental health, and I've got drugs and alcohol, and that's, you know, and then I've got faith and community incentives. Is there anything else that needs to go under prevention? Because today we're just going to get these things down and then try to get this pulled together. Is there another one was personal responsibility. And maybe that would be, maybe that itself would be under communication. What do you think?
It's good for now.
So should we put personal responsibility under communication, or should personal?
I don't think it's communication.
Okay, communication. Okay, so communication. Now, we mean to legislators. We mean to communities, to individuals. I mean, that communication covers a lot.
Madam Chair,
mm-hmm.
I would suggest education instead of personal responsibility, because personal responsibility is something that comes with knowledge.
Okay. Education, and that could be personal responsibility, could be under education. Mm-hmm. Okay. What now? I mean, I'm not sure. Under communication, I suppose we should divide it under communication to communities to legislators, and to individuals. And then we can go into how we're going to do each one of those things, I would imagine. Now, we can just leave it at that and cover that 1 week or one meeting and go into it a little bit more. And hopefully, when we set up our meeting schedule,
that we will be able to pick a subject and then really do each of us do some kind of homework on that, so when we come back to the meeting that we will have suggestions and then be able to go bat them back and forth and see which ones we'll keep and which ones we can't, not, maybe there'll be some that we can do now and some for later or some such thing. So we've got cost containment, cost savings, prevention. What about health and health care? Is that under something else or is that by itself? Is that under access? Access was a big one.
Representative Wilson, during our meeting in Denver, we did talk about access to care is through two channels, both through the insurance channel and through services and facilities. So, you know, health care. So that may be a concept that we keep because I think there are two very different sets of strategies that we may work through on that.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, if we're going to do that, then it probably would be good to have sort of a health and health care focus for one meeting that looks at access and cost and quality, because quality is where we get into issues around things like certificate of need and the tools that we might or might not have to ensure that we don't just have low cost and access with no quality.
Okay, so under health and health care, we could have access, quality, what else?
Cost.
Anything else? And then under access would be insurance and services. Okay. Well, is there anything else? Now, is there anything else that we've got one, two, three. Actually, just three then: cost containment, cost services, prevention, and health care, and then a lot of subjects underneath each one of those. Do we need more? Plenty, isn't it? Okay, so that kind of got it down to three to four, you know, three things then. And I'm going to take it at ease right now. I'm going to go get my calendar because I would like to set some dates for we're going to meet again. But before we do that, is there anything anybody would like to add on to anything we've talked about? I'm looking at everyone. No one has got their hand raised. So let's go then and decide, how often do you want to meet? This is the summertime. This is going to be hard. Right.
Possible when we don't know when there's going to be another special.
What's the first topic we're going to address at the next meeting?
You know, I was thinking that maybe.
Based on that.
Oh, you know what? Communication was one too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Or was that included in the rules? Didn't have communication. That was a biggie.
Jerry, how long would it take for you and your people to get some of the things together that you plan to bring back to us or share with us?
3 to 4 weeks to do a outline, mm-hmm. not a lot of detail.
Yes.
You know, I think communication can go under a prevention. And under access.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that still gives us just the all right. You know, every other week? Is that for, you know, I don't think we have time to. Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah. So once a month?
At least we should, for the time being, once a month should be good. And Jerry said he needs 3 to 4 weeks to get some of the stuff together that he wants. So we should go on those timelines. And then if we need to do something different, we can do it at that time.
Or we could leave because that's basically under cost containment and cost savings. And maybe we could hit something else the first time, and that would give him more time to pull that together. So why don't we do that? That leaves prevention or health and health care. What would you like to tackle first?
Prevention.
We can start on prevention.
Okay, let's do prevention next time.
But it would be better if I would like them to start.
We're going to be back down here on the 24th.
Yes, we are.
But we don't know what our schedule will be or how long.
How about the next week?
Where? Week of the 31st?
Well, see, the next week we might not be here. I don't know if we'll be here that much.
I've got a meeting here on actually, it's the 31st. We've got, I've got stuff going on quite a bit. The first week of August or the last week of August are open for me. And we might be able to do one the first week of August and then one toward the end or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first week of August, we might be here, might not.
Well, maybe we should schedule one while the legislature's here, just sort of take a guess and we can,
that's what I was thinking.
We can change it if need be.
Okay.
We know we're going to be here the week of the 24th. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so should we go like the 26th? It'll be in and out, mm-hmm. or?
Mm-hmm. At least while we're here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's tentatively do one for July 26th. And
if we do it first thing in the morning, it's less, even if we're still working on oil and gas stuff, it might not be till 10.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Right. So let's do July 26th, 8 o'clock, this room. Is that mm-hmm. all right for everyone else?
No. Mm-hmm.
And the topic is going to be prevention.
Prevention.
And can you remind us what you had under that topic?
Under prevention, I've got birth-type situations, mm-hmm. chronic disease, mental health, drugs and alcohol, communication, and faith and community initiatives.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That's a lot. And we might have to divide that up, and we might have to have two meetings with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's look at 8 to 10, and...
Well, what about having the maternal, and I'm not going to remember the title, but just even hear exactly what is being done in that section, because we were focusing on that at the convention, but we didn't really hear what Alaska, what our division is doing. It'd be really nice to... hear what preventative things are being done right there, since it was a big focus.
Yeah,
right.
That would be, if you could give us a summary, Pat.
That would be actually Stephanie.
That would be
Stephanie. Oh, that would be Stephanie. Stephanie, I'm sorry, I almost forget about you.
Well, that's okay. It's hard when it's a teleconference. I'm here, Madam Chair. So are we talking about Wednesday, July 26th?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that too much of a red, a hot potato?
Oh no, not at all. No, I could certainly, I could probably be prepared by the 26th to do a presentation on the aspects of what's happening preventatively in the community. Not all of them, of course, are driven by, mm-hmm. you know, what the Department of Health and Social Services does. Right. But I'm pretty well connected in with what other folks are doing,
and
talk about where the gaps are.
Great, that's what I was just going to say. That
went like a gap analysis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Madam Chair, for each of those topics, we can have folks in the department that are the experts present on those. It's going to be a matter of the timing and how much time you want for presentations versus discussion.
You know, I think it's going to take two meetings for this. I want to be fair to each area. So let's do
drugs and alcohol.
And if we took communication and had folks talk about what the communication links were in the aspects of what they're mm-hmm. doing, we could break that into four, and then it could be two and two for two different meetings.
And
that would kind of give us an idea of how they're communicating now, so that mm-hmm. we might have other ideas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good idea. Stephanie,
Yeah, that's sort of what I was thinking of, because I'm not sure that in prevention there's, you know, sort of a separate communication effort. We all have ways of communicating with the public around prevention messages around these particular topics. So
all right.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah. So let's do birth and
maybe chronic
drugs disease. And alcohol. Okay. For the next meeting and
okay.
You can arrange that.
Well, we can just call it drugs.
And Madam Chair, in the event that I don't have staff available to do the drugs and alcohol mental health piece, the behavioral health piece, I'll let you know, and then maybe we can substitute another
piece. That'd be fine. Okay. That'd be
great. I don't know what people's summer schedules are off the top of my head. So,
So Madam Chair, is that the four are sort of birth outcomes, drug and alcohol, behavioral health, and then faith-based community?
No, mental health.
Actually, mental and drug and alcohol, if I could jump in, Matt, we could really glump as behavioral health, but then there's also a chronic disease piece.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure got included, so okay.
Yeah, that's in there. And we'll do the chronic disease covers so much that maybe we should just leave that one by itself and
Well,
they're all
I actually together. Think you could do birth and chronic disease together, and then maybe drug and alcohol, behavioral health.
Okay.
Yeah, but they tie into birth and chronic disease.
They all tie together.
They all, yeah, they
all start with the drug.
Yeah, they all tie together no matter how we do it. Even, you know, just birth by itself, there's so many ramifications of what they do and everything. And so we might have to kind of overlap with several of them, you know.
Okay.
Okay. No, what I'd like to do, though, I would like to set aside so that we can plan ahead. So the 26th is a meeting, and then let's plan for another meeting. Now, that's at the very end of July or the beginning of August. And what about for the 28th of August? To do with something else and just put these in, just put some dates instead, because what's going to happen if we don't have the dates set aside, then we'll fill them with something else before we get a chance to
what
do
is
it.
The day
it's Monday the 28th of August,
and can we do this telephonically as well?
Sure.
Okay.
I won't be available then, but that's okay.
Well, is there a better time that week?
After Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm leaving on the 2nd myself of September.
It's going to be hard to try to get people together. That's the goodest date as any, I suppose.
Well, we could. You want to stick to?
Because if you jump over into September, it's going to be hard also.
Jump over to what?
Into September. There's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of things that's going on.
There always are.
Yeah,
September, October.
You know, if we have to change it, we can change it. But let's August, get September. Something in. So. The 30th then is what you're, I mean, would that be better then?
The 28th is not bad for me. It's the only one person that said she wasn't going to. You're getting it around the election, right?
The 30th.
The election will be over by then, right?
Yeah,
the 22nd is the election.
Yeah. So, Berta, you'll be back by the 30th?
Yes, get back the 29th.
Okay.
The 30th would be better for me as well.
Okay. Let's do the 30th and
but
I can.
Where? Anchorage or Juneau, what do you anticipate?
I don't plan to do it here.
Well, if we do it telephonically, we could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. We could even do a video telephonically.
Yeah, we don't all have to come to the meeting, you know, but we need to. It'd be nice if we're all here, though. Uh-huh. I mean, at least some way, shape, or form. So, okay, let's say the 30th then.
If we were here, we'll have it here.
That gives one a great, vivid picture.
Yeah, right. I wonder if I'm going to change my shape that soon.
July 26th, August 30th, and how about...
But I still need to know where on August 30th.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to have them all here.
If we are here, we'll be here. If we're not, we'll be telephone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, because I don't know. Are you guys here or are you in Anchorage?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the things we can do, we have video conferencing capability in a number of buildings here, a number of buildings in Anchorage, and I think a couple buildings in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. So as we get closer, mm-hmm. we can figure out where we want to originate it, and we will help get some video.
Okay.
That
would
be really good.
That is
good.
I think that'll help.
It's much better. And then we can do PowerPoint connected, so on both sites you can see it on the screen, which is awesome.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So then we won't say where it is. We're just going to say that's what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know. So how about the 27th of September?
It's hard to say. I just put something down there.
Yeah, just put it down, and then we'll
okay,
go from
there.
Okay,
and in terms of time, on July 26th, it makes a lot of sense to be at 8 a.m. because we might be working with state or House, Senator House. But on August 30th,
10 o'clock, something like that. Then we don't have to worry about meals or anything. And 8 to 10.
Representative Wilson, this is Stephanie. Is it going to be at 8 o'clock on the 26th then?
Yes.
Okay. And then the 30th, did I hear a time change?
Yes. The rest of them will be 10 to 12.
10 to 12. Okay.
That's close enough. We won't do any further than that.
Do we have topics for August 30th and September 27th?
we'll do the topic. We'll follow through with the rest of prevention on the August 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Prevention for both of these.
Mm-hmm. So behavior health, faith-based community initiatives.
Right. Okay. And then let's do the cost containment on September 27th.
Okay, that's good.
And we might add, we'll see. And then we just have health and health care. That would be the last one.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And should we put a date in October for that, or should not do it now?
Let's schedule. We can always change it if need be.
Okay. How about the... About the 25th of October.
And I'm sorry, the topic again
is health and healthcare. That's probably will be kind of pulling it off.
Kind of an overview. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, 10 to 12?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. October
25th. Yep. Okay, it has been exactly 2 hours, and I think we've at least come up with some pretty good ideas, and we'll see what happens then next time, which is only in a couple weeks. The first one will be July 26th in this room at 8.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we won't need it probably, but then the next ones we'll need that.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Gary.
Sure. Gary Fuller. There was interest in a briefing on the Deficit Reduction Act.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do you want to try to get a time together, or should I just do that informally with folks that are interested?
Isn't cost containment one of our topics? Is that?
Yeah, I think
we could build it into that. If
let's do that.
Yes. Okay.
That would be good. I think it'd be good for all of us to hear it. So.
And maybe we'll know
that's
more.
September.
Maybe. Okay, and the same thing that we've already got. But, you know, I guess we'll just leave it to each of us to go through this to see how, mm-hmm. what we want to pick up and put into which weeks. So review what we have and the handouts that we have, and I'll see you all on the 26th. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.